Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you. Call now, 800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've got calls coming in, just flying in right now. We're excited about that.
Oh,
the number, 1-800-677-9377. This topic of spiritual warfare has sparked a lot of interest. So we're going to go straight to our phone lines today. We're going to start in Yonkers, New York, with Don listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Don.
Hi, Bob, and hi, Richard.
Hi there.
Pleasure to always speak with you. I want to let your listening audience know that I have two of your works, Richard Pfeiffer's Revelations, It's No Mystery, and Bob Christopher's Profiles in Character. These are excellent CDs to listen to and to learn from. I've been in the scriptures for many, many years, and I have learned from your work, and I appreciate you two very much. As I was listening, a lady called in, and you were very kind and considerate with her, and she was talking about what happened in the garden and the fall of man and woman. And I think that we should stick with the basic gospel and know that the thread that runs through scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is disobedience. We don't need to know any more than they were disobedient, and that is what caused the fall. For us to use our imagination to wonder what happened and how did the creature look and all of these different things, when a natural saying that we use is the devil is in the details, and that's where he is, getting you to imagine what would happen. Then you come up with, well, is the scripture really true about what it says? Yes, it's true. And I'm speaking to men all across America. Yes, it's true. Put on your armor. Let's engage in spiritual warfare. We are winners. We can't lose. Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey, Don. Thanks for those comments. And, yeah. You know, that's really what that story is all about. God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan put that temptation out in front of them. They entertained that temptation. They saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. That's the nature of Satan's deceptions, the way he deceives us. And then they made the conscious choice to eat. That's right. That act of disobedience. That's that sin. And that act of disobedience, you know, that's an interesting word, isn't it, Andrew and Richard and Bob, as far as our understanding of it. When you look at it as far as the original language concern, it really ties to unbelief, doesn't it? Disobedience, yeah, at its core is unbelief. Mm-hmm. They decided to stop believing, amen, God and start believing something else. And that is the real nature of disobedience.
Yeah, the Bible talks about the obedience of faith, and that's a strange phrase that sort of pops up here and there. Paul talks about the obedience of faith, and then he says we became obedient from the heart. So being obedient is really about believing Jesus is enough. I believe God knows what he's talking about. And as early as Adam and Eve, they were doubting, does God know what he's talking about? So, yeah, faith is obedience.
We're a bunch of doubters.
Boy, we are, aren't we?
Oh, I doubt that.
We're a bunch of doubters, there's no need for us to have armor if we're not going to use it. Men across America, stand up, engage, put on your armor, move forward. You're guaranteed to win. Don't doubt.
Well, thank you, Don. Thanks for your call today. We always love hearing from you.
Thank you, brothers.
Yeah.
1-800-677-9377. Several open lines right now. Plenty of time on the clock. Give us a call. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go down to Houston, Texas, and talk with Ronald, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Ronald.
How y'all doing, brother?
Doing well, thank you.
How y'all doing? Good, good. I have a question in Jude.
Okay.
Chapter 1, verses 3 through 7.
Okay. What's your question there?
I want y'all to explain to me what's happening there in those verses.
Well, it's a warning. It's a very severe warning. It's a warning to those who take the grace of God and turn it into a license for immorality. And those who do that are denying Jesus Christ as the only sovereign and Lord. So these are lost people that God is talking about. They're false prophets. And he says there's an incredible judgment awaiting for those who do that, who deny Jesus Christ as the only sovereign and Lord. It gets back to exactly what we were just talking about, disobedience. Disobedience really being seen as unbelief in Jesus Christ. These folks are unbelievers. And it's a pretty bleak passage, isn't it, guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it says they are godless. That means they do not know God. They're devoid of God. And so, yeah, you've got folks that are saying, hey, you know, God doesn't care about our behavior. God doesn't care about what we do. God doesn't care about how we treat people, you know, and they might even use Jesus as their excuse. You know, Jesus, you know, they'll either say the whole world is forgiven or, you know, I didn't really need to repent of anything in my belief system. I'm just good. God told me I'm good. And so I had to go around treating people like garbage. Well, these are godless men. They don't have Christ in their heart. They don't have Christ in their life. And so, yeah, that's what Jude chapter 1 is really saying. It's warning about these deceptions. When Christ really enters a person's life, he is not passive. God is not up in heaven sitting in a lazy boy chair saying, I don't care. He is growing us up, and he cares about our behavior.
And I would ask a question. In Jude 1, verse 3, he's talking to the believer. In verse 3, because you said, dear friend, so he's talking to us, and he's warning us.
Yeah, he's warning believers about hanging out with, being influenced by unbelievers, yeah.
Who have secretly slipped into the church. So that, there's, as we say many, many times here, when you're dealing with a church situation, any of the letters in the New Testament, any of the churches that all of us go to, you can never assume that everybody is saved. And so you present the gospel no matter what, so that perhaps the person who has slipped in, you know, they're unbelievers, even though they're wearing the mask, will hear something and respond to the Spirit and get saved.
And these were God's chosen people right here. And if you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, these were God's chosen people that got destroyed. Exactly.
Ronald, I think you're heading down a path of trying to say that we can lose our salvation. And that's not what this passage is teaching. So
I'm saying in verse five it says these were God's chosen people. These were God's chosen people. God delivered people from Israel for 40 years. A lot of those people didn't make it. You know.
Well, when you use the word chosen and then you relate it to today, then you sort of make a connection to the church that's not there. I mean, Israel was God's chosen people, but who can come to the Lord today? Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. So, you know, we can jump around and make some connections that are really false connections. I think you have to go with the context of what's really said. There's a few times that Christians are addressed in this chapter, but he's basically saying, brothers, don't hang out with these other people. Brothers, don't hang out with these ungodly people. They are deceiving the church. So you got to call a spade and put a label where it's deserved. There's two groups of people in this passage, believers and then unbelievers, who are these ungodly deceivers.
Well, Ronald, we sure appreciate your call. Thanks for the question today.
Plenty of open lines, and again, time on the clock at 1-800-677-9377.
Certainly want to remind our listeners that we have financial needs as far as the ministry is concerned. We're looking for people to stand with us as partners in the gospel, basic gospel partners, a gift of $20 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month. We've even quantified it. A gift of $35 every single month reaches 100 people with the good news of Jesus Christ.
35.
So we're encouraging folks to stand with us with that type of support every single month to keep this message going out. And for those who do so this particular month, we want to say thanks by sending you a copy of Andrew's wonderful book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. And as you can see from, you know, over the last several days, just the nature of the calls that we've gotten, this spiritual war is real. And there's folks that are being accused and entertaining those accusations, and they're doubting their salvation, they're doubting their forgiveness, they're doubting God's love, they're doubting all sorts of things. That's exactly what the enemy wants. But we need to be prepared. We need to know what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. We need to know about this armor that we have in him, the armor that protects us from all of those accusations that Satan sends our way. So if you will join the Basic Gospel team with a gift this month, we want to send this to you as our way of saying thanks. Operation Screwtape, a wonderful resource, I think a must resource for every believer to have.
Absolutely. And, of course, a prominent link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can call and request your copy and make your gift when you speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Nathaniel listening to us on WARV in Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Nathaniel.
Greetings, guys.
And greetings to you.
Thank you. I have a question about Ellen G. White. Do you guys know if she was a racist?
Well, Richard can probably answer that.
Yeah, since that's my history.
You didn't know her personally.
I didn't know her personally, no. But you do have to have a little bit of history. What makes you ask the question before I launch into?
Because I heard on the computer that Ellen White had said that certain people were the product of amalgamation.
Yes. Yeah, that's a common... I believe it's a misunderstanding, actually. I have no basis for saying that it's true or it's not true. I think there is one obscure passage in one of her writings at some point where that may have been suggested. I don't think that was certainly her long-term position. Where you get into issues in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is that the church was started back in the midst of the Civil War period. And there were some Adventists who were actually part of the Underground Railroad. So there was a lot of political involvement and a lot of danger for some of those people. And when the war was over and the whole Reconstruction got started and the whole carpetbagging situation was there, the church was struggling with how to deal with all these newly freed slaves, and many of them were coming into the church and all of that. Now, what are we going to do? The North wanted to do one thing. The South still wanted to do another. And so the church decided, they honestly decided, that separate but equal was the best way to go. So they set up black conferences and white conferences in the South so that there wouldn't be an excuse for political infighting and violence and all of that. The problem is what seemed like a good idea at the time was institutionalized. And it still exists. And so there are problems with some Adventist churches on the side of racism, and they're working through that. But I don't know that Ellen White actually meant and said what you're claiming. I've heard the claim before, but actually said it or meant it, especially later in life. She may have said it at one time, and because she's treated as a prophet, they've held on to every word she ever wrote or said or anything,
well,
and it makes a problem.
That's the real issue. They hold her up and put her on a pedestal and treat her as a prophet who was bringing the direct words of God to the people of that day, which is opposed to what the Word of God has
exactly
to say.
Right.
You know, in times past, God spoke to us through various ways and in various means, but today he's speaking to us through his Son. So God's word to man today is through Jesus Christ, and we need to maintain that. And so anybody who comes forth with a statement that's saying, hey, I'm a prophet of God, and I have fresh revelation, new revelation for today's generation, I think we immediately say, that's not right, and I'm not going to listen.
Yeah.
I think that's the spirit of discernment that we get when we really are resting in the fact that we've been given the full armor of God. Part of that is the sword of truth, the word, and it's through that word that we can dissect those claims and see them for what they really are.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome, Nathaniel. You hold the line. We'll send you a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape. Thanks for your call today. Well, let's go up to our right here in Grand Prairie, Texas, and talk with Milton. Hi, Milton.
Hello. My question is, I mean, I'm pretty old and everything, and I've been a Christian most of my life, and I've always been taught once saved, always saved. But I'm always finding new stuff, and my preacher here started preaching on Revelations, and he hasn't got to this part in his yet, but he's arguing with his wife. There's a part in Revelations that says, I don't know how to explain it to you, but the book, they opened the book and your name was in there, but if you did so-and-so wrong, he would cast your name out. I don't really know how to explain it, but
the real issue is that it says just the exact opposite. If your name is in the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life, he will never, never cast your name out. However, when the books are opened, if your name isn't in the Book of Life, you're lost. It's as simple as that. But once you're there, you're never going to be taken out.
But you don't know anything about where he might got his.
Well, Revelation 3:5 is the verse that you're talking about, and I just encourage you to read it, Milton, and I would encourage you to ask your pastor to read it as well, because it's very clear. Instead of teaching that you can lose salvation, it actually teaches the opposite, that you're guaranteed salvation. I think it's one of the most assuring verses in the Word of God, but
it's a big issue. A lot of people have that question, and that's another one of Satan's deceptions. Something.
Absolutely. Andrew, how have you handled that question? I know you've been hit with that question a number of times.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right on there, Bob, when you say that it's one of the most assuring, incredible verses. I mean, to quote it, it says, I will never blot out his name from the Book of Life. So never means never, and this is God speaking here. So God is saying, I will never blot your name out of this book. So we've taken a verse that is incredible, strengthening, brings stability, brings security, and we've turned it into instability and insecurity, and we Christians are real good at that. It's like we're hunting for some verse to twist in our minds or allow the enemy to twist. And now you get back to the accuser. The accuser has used Scripture with Jesus, and now he's using Scripture with us to try to twist things and bring fear. But perfect love, God's perfect love, casts out fear. Fear involves punishment, but there's no punishment for us. And so the Scripture tells us that God's perfect love and trusting that love is the big deal. Hebrews says you will be saved as long as Jesus lives, because he always lives to intercede for you. And that's a beautiful book to consider, too, when you're looking at security.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It really does, because Revelations, to me, is a real hard book to understand anyway. But it helps. I mean, I have something to fall back on now.
Well, Milton, let me do this for you. Let me put you on hold. I did a message last November or December called the Path or the Trail of Assurance. And I just started in Revelation 1 and went all the way to Revelation 22, and I looked at various passages in that book that assures us of our salvation, gives us a solid footing as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. So let me put you on hold. We'd be glad to send you that CD, okay?
Okay, God bless you.
Thanks, Milton. Hang on, Milton, and thanks for your call, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Paul in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening to us on WFUR. Hi, Paul.
Hi there. Glad to talk to you guys again. That statement that there's no atheist in foxholes, I've been thinking about that. I was in combat in Saipan, Okinawa, and so many people were, they're just afraid they might get killed. All of a sudden, they're saved. I question. Well, there might be an example where they're saved, but I'd say most of them are still atheists, and God does not listen to a prayer of an atheist. Am I right there?
Well, I don't think you want to say that. The Bible, Paul tells the early church that he says, do not say, this is to the Romans, do not say in your heart, who will ascend, up into heaven. That's to bring Christ down. And don't say who will descend, meaning into hell or the lower parts of the earth, because that's to bring Christ up from the dead. So the idea there is that we don't serve as predictors. Don't say who's saved. Don't say who's lost. But instead, the gospel of this free gift of righteousness, what does it say? It says, gosh, the word of God is near you. It's near anyone. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, somebody could be an atheist for 70 years, and then in that 71st year, they could just call upon the name of the Lord, and God is all ears.
Well, yeah, I'd say there are examples of that atheists could be saved, but don't you think most of the time they just all of a sudden afraid they're going to die, and now they want to go to, they don't want to go to hell, they want to go to heaven. Well, are they really saved then? Or some of them, I wouldn't say all of them are lost. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I think
most of them just all of a sudden they're going to get killed.
We don't know their hearts. That's the situation. Oh. Look at the thief on the cross.
Yeah,
there's a guy who spent his life stealing, stealing so much that he was finally convicted to the point of death.
Yeah.
And
I'm not saying that they're an example. That I'm not judging their heart. I'm just thinking, well, don't you think that most of them are thinking, just humanly speaking, I don't know their heart, but don't you think that most, I'm going to get killed and I want to be saved from getting killed.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some that will, say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. But that's people who really didn't sincerely take any interest. The folks who have even that mustard seed of faith is not the size of your faith. It's where you, I like to say, it's where you flick it. It's not the size of your faith. It's where you point it. And so even with a mustard seed faith, an atheist can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Paul, thank you so much for your call. And Andrew, thank you for that great answer as well. And Paul, thank you for your service to our country. That was a horrible time. I know you went through literal hell on earth. And so thank you for that, my friend. Keep listening and call again. Thanks to everybody who called to be a part of this particular broadcast. Thank you for joining in. And please remember, too, that this ministry is totally listener-supported, and we need your ongoing help to keep Basic Gospel on the air. For your gift of any amount today, we have a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. We'd like you to do that anyway. A full website that is there to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. A reminder, too, that the resources we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our store at basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. To review what you hear each day on this broadcast, be sure to join our email list. You'll receive email notices each day with a link to the most recent broadcast. Just click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.